Talking today with Mark Hodges from Plains Grains. And Mark, let's talk a little bit about this 2017 hard red winter wheat crop. We're really moving it along maybe a little bit faster than a lot of folks had anticipated we might see this crop develop. You're saying we're just weeks away from harvest in some cases.
We are, especially down on the Oklahoma-Texas border. We could easily be cutting wheat within the next three and a half weeks, at least some test cutting going on. Really, it's a symptom of how this crop developed. Of course, last fall we got a fairly good stand, got root development, got tillers, but then we didn't really get any moisture until about a month ago when it started raining. And of course, it was a little late south of I-40. Mm-hmm. You can tell that just by the stature of the crop. It's short, which usually equates out to shorter heads, less berries bred, those kind of things. And of course, when the plant went. Came out of dormancy, if it ever was in dormancy, as warm as we were. But when it came out of dormancy and went erect and got the first hollow stem, by that time, the size of the head, the number of kernels potential per head, and those kind of things were determined. And we had a lot of drought up to that point, at least south of I-40. Now, north of I-40, because those plants were not as far along physiologically, the rain did them a lot more good. And, of course, further north you go, probably the higher the potential is going to be in the state. And then, of course, you add to that the grazing aspect. And I know just visually when I've driven around the state, producers probably left cattle on another 2 to 2.5 weeks, maybe 3 weeks longer than they probably should have. But it's pretty hard to argue that when you look at the price of wheat and you look at the price of cattle and they got, 2.5, 3 weeks more gain off those cattle. They're still going to have enough wheat production to go back with seed. So, and maybe that's their intent, but, we understand that too.
Now, you talked about the southern parts of the state having the most stress. I guess this is just really a symptom of the last couple of years where we've had dry and we've had pretty warm conditions, at least off and on through the winter.
We have, and it is unusual. And I really do think there's other things going on with the crop that maybe we haven't identified. Last year and this year, of course, last year we had a very low protein crop, and I'll admit that the largest majority of that's because of protein dilution. We just had so much production that there wasn't enough nitrogen, which is a building block, obviously, for protein there. But I also think that because of the warmer conditions during the winter, and I think that's part of what's going on this year too as well, warmer conditions during the winter. The plant just doesn't develop as maybe it has traditionally in the past. So, again, I don't know what all is going on there, but I do think there's a factor there.
What's the potential right now, you think, Mark?
Well, I hate to make absolute statements about wheat because it's made a liar out of me too many times. And last year was a very good example of what can happen when you get those perfect grain fill conditions. In the right stage of development, it's tremendous the amount of difference it makes. But right now, I'm kind of hoping for an average crop. I think that the potential's there depending on what happens from here till harvest, obviously. But, and we could easily be a little below average on production, but that's kind of where I'm at with this crop. And, of course, average has been a moving target because of, mm-hmm. When you look at statewide, because planted acres have been down and they're really down now. So, right now I'm looking at somewhere below 100 million bushels probably.
And I guess that is one of the big wild cards will be those numbers of acres actually harvested for grain because it's going to be probably, south of 3 million.
That's true. That's very true. So, yeah, that and, I don't think we have a real good handle on not just the number of acres that that go down as maybe abandonment if they grazed it out, but or hayed, either one. But those guys, as I mentioned before, that might have left those cattle on a little bit too long or longer than normal, that would decrease the yield, where if they would have pulled off a little earlier, that wouldn't have been an issue. But, again, those are pretty hard numbers to get your head wrapped around right now, at least.
Right. And as you mentioned, we're looking at potential for coming right on through fairly quickly with starting an early harvest. Any late season disease problems, you think, or worries?
Well, we've got concerns about stripe rust. the inoculum's there, the potential's there to have a problem. We don't have a full-blown problem yet, but the potential's there. And of course, it's late enough in crop development. It's a little late for fungicides at this point if they haven't been put down for most producers. Wheat streak mosaic is one that we have normally associated with western Oklahoma and especially into the panhandle. And we could always tie it back to volunteer wheat somewhere that allowed that wheat curl mite, to, which is a vector, to survive. We are coming up with a lot of fields that have been diagnosed as wheat streak mosaic that we cannot tie it back to volunteer wheat. So that's somewhat of an issue in the state this year. I don't know it's going to make a dramatic difference in yield on a statewide basis, but it's really a problem we haven't seen to this extent, in my career at least, right now.
That's pretty significant.
I'm old or what?